things of God, to the events that took place so long ago, and that for, you know, many, many years back, probably, you know, decades back, they were really more evident possibly, but as we've gotten further and further from the cross, further and further from God, that society in a whole, it doesn't take much to start dropping these things off, and we don't want to pay a lot of attention to anything of Christian honoring our remembrances, you know. And so it just seems like I'm looking forward to say, okay, Lord, what's next? You know, something pops up on this calendar I got that kind of ties into you, Father. But anyway, since the crucifixion of Jesus, when he went to the cross back at Easter, we had the service then and had resurrection, you know. We've looked at the 40 days, that Thursday, 40 days out from Easter. That 40th day falls on a Thursday, and that was called Ascension Thursday. It's when Christ rose into the clouds, and those around him were looking up. Then we looked at 10 days past that Thursday of Ascension was Pentecost Sunday, Pentecost 50, and what that meant. That was 50 days after the resurrection that the Holy Spirit came in. Last week we shared on Pentecost Sunday. Remember the sound system we used, and we had the sound effects of the mighty wind rushing. And I looked out and I saw many of you had your eyes closed just envisioning what that would be like to be sitting in a room like those and hear that sound like that of a mighty rushing wind. If it was actually the wind blowing of that level, it would have blown them all out of the room and through the wall or out the window. But they're sitting there and they just heard that mighty sound of a rushing wind, the Holy Spirit coming in, the dancing flames on top of the heads of those there, of the fire of the Holy Spirit. And so we've looked at the empty tomb, we've looked at the Ascension Thursday, we've looked at Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And a day in our calendars, like I've said already, would be noted as Trinity Sunday. That's great for the church. It's being known as well as triune, the triune of God, the three. And now when you look at Trinity, you're not going to find that in the Bible where you're going to be reading Scripture and it just says, okay, the Trinity of God, you know. But through some Scriptures that we'll look at today and just kind of looking through this to give you a thumbnail sketch, so to speak, of where this speaks within our Word. It's in there if you read the Scriptures and you pay attention to the verses. And what's interesting, again, is there's a lot of different studies and there's a lot of organizations and there's some denominational organizations out there that are Christian-like that speak against the triune God or the Trinity. They say there was no three. There's just the one, just God. Or it's just one, just Jesus. You know, things like that. They don't see it in the Scriptures because they don't find the word Trinity in there that they say, well, there's no such thing. But I hope today by looking at some of the things that are shared that we can see that it encompasses the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Trinity Sunday is the first Sunday after Pentecost, and it's to honor the Trinity. Trinity, tri, if you take that word, tri, T-R-I, tri is three. Unity, triunity of Sunday would be the unity of that of the three of them working together. And I think we do understand how they were all working together within themselves, weren't they? Each one doing what God had designed that to be done. And so three in one, the triunity of God working in unity. While this word does not appear in Scripture, we can find where Jesus refers to it. If you look at Matthew 28, starting in 18, and it speaks this, and Jesus came. Well, let's see, let me turn there. Matthew, if I turn there, it gives you time to turn there. It's not fair if I've got it already listed on my paper. So if I go, well, Matthew 28, the last one, come on. If you get there, just start ahead of me. Matthew 28, 18 says this, and Jesus came and he spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, and baptizing them in what? the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all these things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. So even though the word Trinity isn't found in the Scriptures, we find a lot of reference to a Trinity, when, like that of Jesus saying, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If it was just one, why wouldn't he just say, baptize them in this? And so, you know, you can go bonkers out there if you start trying to really get into some of these things in the understandings and the teachings and how they want to take away from the Trinity. But I've got to read God's Word as what God's Word is and just see what it says. Now, there will be some that say, well, the God's Word, that these things and these things were written by man, so man put these different versions and things in there. There are different aspects of it. But here again, as we get into this, we understand that like everything in the Bible, it's pretty well received by faith. And the first thing that I come to understand first, I've got to settle within my own being, is that I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Amen. Written by men that were inspired by God to pen it on paper, to put it in this form. And yeah, there's a lot of versions, a lot of different types of Bibles out there. There's just a multiple amounts of different translations. And yes, you got to be careful on some. But for the most part, there's a lot of good translations out there that have tried to take the verbiage and tried to put it into more of a modern understanding of things, because a lot of the words have changed, or a lot of the words don't have much of a meaning to where we're at today. But I fundamentally believe that the foundational thing, that this Bible is the Word of God, and that what it tells me, I receive it as that from God. So although the reference to the Trinity is hard for some to understand, or for others they deny it, because just like much of the Bible, being that of God's Word, it must be received by faith. And it's one of these areas that is really discussed a lot, and there's a lot of conclusions and disconclusions, I guess, or unconclusions of what this is all about. But I find that if I can just take God's Word as what it is, I have a pretty easy time with it. So we find the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We should be able to grasp some insights into the message of the Trinity as we read through Scriptures. On Trinity Sunday, the Christian church needs to review this area with joy and thanksgiving. We need to look at this as it's a powerful tool. It's a powerful time to understand and look at Trinity Sunday, the reviewing or the looking at or the honoring of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one. So on Trinity Sunday, the Christian church needs to review this area with joy and thanksgiving for what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have done to accomplish the salvation for all, if they would receive what Jesus the Christ did for everyone when he went to the cross. By reflecting on this day, let's recall some things. If you look, and I just pulled out some of these basic, some scriptures that came to mind and looking at, but the Father as our Creator in Genesis 1:26. We look at that, Genesis 1:26, and it says this, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." But here again, we're looking at as our Creator, Father God, our Creator. We were created in His image. He is the Creator of this earth. He spoke everything into existence. He called it out as it was, and He set His hand upon it. The Son, Jesus Christ, in John 14:7. If I look at John 14:7, we have Jesus speaking there, and we'll probably be in John quite a bit here once we get kind of in that particular area of the ballpark. In 14:7, it says this, that if you had known me, If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on know him and have seen him. Jesus is telling the disciples and those there, if you see me, you're seeing the Father. As he shared some other times as well, what I speak, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. So here again, it's showing, it's given me the insight that there's three in one, the Father, the Son, and then we get into the Holy Spirit here in just a little bit. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Jesus reveals himself as we equal to the Father in John 10:30 when it says, I and the Father are one. In John 10:30, I and the Father are one. Well, there's two. Got the Father, and we got Jesus. Jesus saying, I and the Father are one. Jesus as our Savior in John 14:6. Where Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me or by me. And so as you go through, and especially in John, you read a lot of what Jesus is sharing with those there. And it's in the red. Jesus is speaking these things. He's alluding to the Father. He's alluding to himself with his Father is in him. He's alluding to, if you see me, you see the Father. If you hear me, you're hearing the Father. And then we get into the point of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit as our comforter. John 14:26 says what? But the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send. The Father, here I am, Jesus, I'm sharing with the people there of what the Father is going to send once I leave, the Holy Spirit. I'm finding the Trinity of God in all these verses. I'm finding it within myself that there is the Father, the Son, and now I've got this Holy Spirit. Jesus said that it's evident that I go. It's advantageous for you that I go so that he can come, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, so that he can lead you. Today, we're not being led by Jesus per se. We might be led by Jesus through his word, through the scriptures, by reading what Jesus says to do or not do or what's best to do. But a lot of our leading of today is by that of who? The Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us and speaking to us and enlightening us in the things of God. You can try to dig into some of the scriptures of God, and you can really get somewhat confusing. I don't believe God meant it to be that way. I don't think God put this word out there and said, I'm going to just keep it so confusing that nobody's going to understand it. Because he says, come unto me like little children. What we find that gets confusing and what we find that people try to dig into it is they try to understand the depths of it, which sometimes there's not a true understanding that the human mind can comprehend, because God is speaking on a plane of understanding that it takes faith and a belief and a trust in someone that's got a higher power, a higher intellect than me. How about you? That put this together, that says, you just need to trust me. This is what I've said. This is what I've done. This is what I've created. This is the direction I have. This is where this is all going to end up. You got to have faith. And our Christian walk is built upon faith. It's not built upon a religion. It's not built upon a denomination. It's not built upon a creed of what man puts out there of an organization as to here's what we're going to follow because we can understand it better if we say it this way. I want to follow this right here of what God put down and what men penned for us to read and how different ones were placed in here and how it all ties together. There's just no understanding of how this could be so relevant, but yet the prophecies of old, how they were fulfilled in the New Testament, and all these things come together centuries apart and hundreds and thousands of years apart, these things come together. So yeah, as man, if I tried to fathom that and try to really piece it together and try to put my insight into it, don't you think most of us would say it doesn't make sense? And now some of the things that we are yet to see coming, because we don't understand the breadth of it, the girth of it, the expanse of it, we try to reason it out or try to reason it to the point that says, well, this is just a story, or this is just trying to portray something that may be similar to this, but this is what they're trying to say. And no, I truly believe God's word is that of God's word from the beginning to the end and everything in between. And so whatever's going to come is going to come. God already has it ordained, and it's going to happen. But as we get taught these things, as we begin to see these things develop, we come to an understanding of what God spoke and what Jesus is speaking, and even the Holy Spirit speaking, because even the Holy Spirit will not speak with anything with what God doesn't share with him. What tells me that is there's a commonality in that. What's the common denominator? God. God speaks, God spoke, God shares, God directs, God works through, you know, the Son and the Holy Spirit, the three in one. There's a lot of ways of trying to understand it. I remember I've heard it explained as like, you know, like the three elements of water. You got the water, you got the vapor, and you got ice, the three in one. I've heard that explained, and I've heard people explain that away saying that's not the proper way to explain it. You know, you can begin to read so many articles out there that want to try to help you understand it, but then there's other articles that come out to try to discount that article to help you try to understand it. So all you're doing is your mind is going, what? Well, I thought I understood it. Now this person here says that's not the best way to describe it. It's not really like the water and this and that, you know. But it's trying to get an understanding of how we try to understand, because you go out there to tell somebody, it's still a mystery, amen? It's still a mystery to go out there to talk to someone about the triune of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, explain that all to me. Well, God came in the form of man, Jesus, you know, who died for our sins, and then he was resurrected, and then he was brought back, and he went back to heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father. And when he left, God puts in the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Just the three. So, you might say, well, you're pretty simple thinking there, Tim. I'm glad, because I don't want to put a whole lot of deep thought into this, because you can talk yourself out of stuff sometimes, the more you dig into it. And I'm going to tell you, just the last few days, just going online and looking at some of these scriptures and some of these things and the groups of people out there that are just against this, is just amazing. And there's just a battle in that. I mean, we got the Christian organizations battling within the Christian organizations trying to tell that what you believe is totally wrong, you know, rather than us joining together on the commonality of what Jesus did and the bringing together and the salvation and the sin and giving us, you know, eternity in heaven and forgiveness of our sins, so that we can go out and share the good news and spread the gospel of good news. You know, we get into our little spats and we get into our little verbiages of what we want to discount and say, well, it's not truly that, it's not exactly that, it's this, it's that, it's this is what we believe. And pretty soon, man has us off track of what really Jesus said to go. All we do is go into our own little study groups, go into our own little back rooms, and try to figure out why that organization over there is wrong. You know, we just need to figure out who we are in Christ and what God has done and spent and sent for us to do, and just hook up with him. And by reading what our Savior did and being a Christ follower, a disciple, a follower, a learned one, trying to learn the things of Jesus, what he shared, and then being able to be led by that of the Holy Spirit. So I am happy and I am thankful and I'm okay with saying the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes and comforts. How many here today have been comforted in a dire situation that you were going through, and something disastrous has come upon you, or something that's upon your heart, and it's just weighing you down, that you can pray about it, turn it over to God, and all of a sudden you just feel a comfort. You feel a peace. You might even, in some respects, you might sense and feel in the Spirit, like I felt a breeze just blow over me. I just feel like a fresh breath of air has come into the situation. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. How God can communicate with us, how God can direct us, how God can lead us this day. Together they sent the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father. Now, 1 John 5. If I go to 1 John 5, 7. So, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. So we are finding there's verbiage, there's talking about the three together again. First John chapter 5, verse 7. There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word. And now, you know, you go back into Genesis, and you begin to read that as well, and it says what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. And then talks, gets into the respects of the Word. The Word was there. We find that the whole thing was all been combined, you know, that even the Spirit at the time was back at that point in time, because it talks about hovering, you know, over the earth. And so we find here again just the culmination of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. To understand the Trinity is to understand God more fully. Let's see here. In John 14, it begins with, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And it goes on to share about, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if he's preparing a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." And again, remember I talked about where, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then we talked about to where I must go so that he, the Holy Spirit, can come, so that he can take up from where I'm left off. As Jesus left off with the crucifixion and the salvation, the shedding of his blood like a lamb led to slaughter, where the forgiveness of our sins were once and for all. It wasn't a yearly sacrifice that they did back in the Old Testament and the Jewish religious, to where they had to go and do a yearly sacrifice to forgive them of their sins each year. Jesus only had to die once. And that blood that was shed covers us today. And it covers us for tomorrow and those that come after us. That blood continues. The blood of Christ continues to cleanse us from sin. And as he returned back to heaven to sit there at the right hand of God the Father to intercede for us, I just begin and you look through these scriptures and you just see how God has had it and continues to have it all planned out. Nothing is amiss with God. Everything, there was a plan and a purpose and a reason and a purpose of these things to come about and what God had desired. It never surprised God with what the things were taking place. Jesus saying that I've got to go. Jesus understood that he had to go so the Holy Spirit could come. Jesus begins to pray for himself And I think, did I share that in John 17 or not? Let's see. Okay, as Jesus is praying for the disciples, he's saying, I am, in verse 11, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. Who? Jesus is saying that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name, those who gave me, let's see, I've kept them in your name, period. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And verse 13, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you, speaking to God, should take them out of the world, but that you, God, should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, Jesus speaking to the Heavenly Father, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also be sanctified by the truth. And he continues to pray, Jesus, for now the believers. This is for his disciples that he was praying for. And in John 17:20, Jesus is praying for the believers. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be just as we are, one. We become one with Christ, with God, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We become one with him by the leading of that. But as we are talking here, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you've loved me. Father, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. You loved me. Jesus speaking to the Father. You loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these that I have known that you sent me, and these have known that you have sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. So there's several scriptures, and I've got some things here I found in a book that I have that are similar divine characteristics of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. For the holiness, for eternity, for all-knowing, for all-powerful, everywhere present. There's like five areas there that it lists, three scriptures, one scripture for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Spirit in those particular areas, showing the characteristics. Also in the similar divine activities for all three, by the creating, giving the spiritual life, performing miracles and teaching by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we'll probably try to dig into some of these things in the future, whether it's next week or not, and try to just kind of tie into this to find the similarities of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit in some areas that we would address in our lives. But today, being that of Trinity Sunday, I hope you have an understanding, but I hope you get the grasp of what this day is in the Christian calendar, to where we should honor and be with joy and excitement of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one. Because God loves us so much, amen, that he sent his only Son to die for us. Jesus loves us so much, he returned back to the Father to fulfill what he has done, so that we can be led by that of the Holy Spirit.